Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Well, Renee and I have some friends who are going through what we will be going through a year from now. Their youngest child is graduating from high school, and they will soon become empty nesters. And that's what will happen to us a year from now as well. So there's a story of a couple who just became empty nesters. Their youngest graduated from high school and went off to college, and as this couple was just sitting around one day and just kind of taking it all in, just thinking about what it was like to raise a family, and now they're empty nesters, the husband kind of laid his head on his wife's lap, and they were just kind of reflecting on life's journey. And the wife just gently reached down and removed his glasses, and she gazed into her husband's eyes, and she said, "You know, sweetie, without your glasses, you look like the same handsome man that I married many, many years ago." And he replied with a grin. He said, "Honey, without my glasses, you still look pretty good yourself." I have so many of these marriage jokes. Like the guy who was talking to his friend one day, and they were talking about marriage and mother-in-laws and things like that, and he said to his buddy, "My mother-in-law and I have a lot in common. We both wish my wife had married somebody else." So we are week 3 in this series I'm calling Marriage. And if you've missed the last 2 Sundays, this is where this comes from. Look at this video clip. Marriage, that blessed event, that comes from The Prince's Bride, one of Renee's all-time favorite movies, 1987. That's a classic line in the movie, but it is not the most remembered line in that movie. We're going to show you a short clip of the most famous line from this movie. You remember that? Prince's Bride. Marriage. We're talking about marriage. And, of course, I've been showing you some videos from Chad Sexton, the expert marriage tip guy. I have another one for you this morning.
Expert marriage tip. When your wife makes a mistake, be sure and constantly remind her about it. She will be so thankful to you for bringing it up on a consistent basis. This will show her how much you love her and help her better herself. Follow for more marriage tips.
I'm so thankful you're an idiot.
They are a Christian couple, and they have fun with all this great little marriage tips there to keep it light. A couple days ago, my brother, some of you know James and Tanya, they posted this picture. They celebrated 16 years of marriage. That was a beautiful day. I remember that day very well, and so we want to wish them a happy anniversary. But you know, a lot of people have given up on marriage. You know this. Our culture has given up on marriage, by and large, or tinkering with marriage. There's this interesting book I came across by Elizabeth Gilbert. I don't know much about her, except for the fact that she wrote a New York Times bestseller called Eat, Pray, Love. Some of you may be familiar with that book. I haven't read it. By all accounts, she's not a believer, but did write this interesting book. I don't agree with everything she writes in the book. Probably don't agree with most of what she writes in the book. But the book is entitled Committed, and here's the subtitle. A skeptic makes peace with marriage. So here's a non-believer who went through a really ugly divorce and had given up on marriage altogether. Being the thoughtful, reflective person that she is, went on this journey about what is marriage and the significance of marriage. And although I don't agree with all her conclusions, she's a skeptic who came to the conclusion that we shouldn't throw out the institution of marriage altogether. She actually writes this. She says, "Why do I need this man at all?" Talking about her current fiancé. "I need him because I happen to adore him, because his company brings me gladness and comfort, and because, as a friend's grandfather once put it, sometimes life is too hard to be alone, and sometimes life is too good to be alone." Kind of sounds like the words that we read in Genesis, where the Lord said, "It is not good for man to be alone." That's in Genesis chapter 2. That's before the fall. That's before sin entered the world. And even before sin entered the world, the Lord knew that it was not good for man to be alone. But I do want to talk to you about marriage. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to look at a verse in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Hebrews 13, verse 4. Now, we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. Scholars have debated this from the very beginning. I think if you're going to lean one way, it could have been the Apostle Paul, but we're not sure. And so the author remains unknown. I'm trying really hard not to make any jokes here, but before I read verse 4, the author in verse 3 is talking about those who were imprisoned. "Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if yourselves were suffering." So he talks about being imprisoned, being mistreated, and then suffering. Oh, and speaking of suffering, I'm going to talk to you about marriage. So many jokes I want to make here, but I won't. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. "Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral." Marriage should be honored by all. So I started this series by talking about the ministry of marriage. Again, this is a series on marriage from a Christian perspective. That's really the emphasis of what we're talking about. What does it mean to be in a Christian marriage? And I believe, to kick this off, that we talked about how marriage should be a ministry. Husband and wife in Christ coming together should lock arms and ask each other, how are we going to partner together to serve God and to serve others? The ministry of marriage. It's critical. Then last week I talked to you about the mystery of marriage. The mystery of marriage. How marriage should not be considered just a transaction like buying a ticket or, you know, going to the amusement park or whatever. It shouldn't be just another daily transaction. There is an awe and mystery about marriage. Christian marriage, about how God brought all this about and how the two become one, and how the Apostle Paul talks about how this is a profound mega mystery. And so many marriages drift apart because they lose the awe and wonder of what God has done and wants to do in a marriage. Today I want to talk to you about the myth of marriage. There's a lot of misconceptions about marriage. that have even crept into the church that I want to talk to you about. And I want to just briefly give you 12 myths that are common myths, common misconceptions about marriage for those of us who are married, for those of us who may be thinking about getting married, for those of us who have thrown marriage out altogether. Let's just talk about some of these myths. The first one, you can't have a perfect marriage. And let me explain what I mean by that. When the author here to the book of Hebrews says marriage must be pure, he's holding up a high standard. Now, we know that there is not a single marriage that is without flaw. Every husband, every wife has their own flaws, has their own shortcomings. But the writer here in Hebrews 13:4 says marriage must be pure or undefiled. And in that sense, marriage can be perfect. You have to protect your marriage and your home from the influence of the world that would seek to come in and create havoc. It is true that no marriage will be perfect in the sense that everything is going to go well. But there is a biblical sense that a marriage can be holy as husband and wife seek to honor God. And so in that sense, yes, your marriage can be pure. And one of the myths in culture is, well, if you can't have a good marriage, why get married at all? And the Bible affirms here, with God's help and with God's Spirit, you can have a pure marriage. And in that sense, your marriage is perfect. Again, that doesn't mean you're not going to have mistakes. You're going to have mistakes. But there is a sense of seeking the purity of God in your marriage. Myth number two, marriage will solve all of your problems and meet all of your needs. Not only that, there's the myth that having kids will make everything right. And I just want to reiterate what you probably already know, is that marriage will not solve all of your problems. And your spouse will not meet all of your needs. And having kids is not going to make things any better. You may be familiar with the name Dr. Larry Crabb. He has been around for a long time. He was a Christian counselor. He has his PhD in clinical psychology from the University of Illinois. He's written many, many, many books. Solid Christian counselor. If you come across a book by Dr. Larry Crabb, pick it up. It'll be good. Not only that, but I was able to spend a week with him as he taught one of our doctoral courses while I was doing my doctoral work at Denver Seminary. This is one of his older books from 1982, but it's still solid. The book is called The Marriage Builder, and chapter 2 is Who Meets My Needs? And this is how he begins the chapter. A man in his middle 40s complained to me that his wife was cold, angry, and argumentative. I interrupted his recitation of her faults to say, "It sounds as if you think that because your wife is failing you so badly, you are therefore justified in your bitter attitude toward her. The Bible, however, instructs you to love your wife, though she may be thoroughly disagreeable, to love her the way Christ loves his people." Oh, he was incredulous. "Wait a minute! Maybe I am supposed to love her. I am sure I should. But I need a little love and respect, too. She's giving me nothing but criticism and a cold shoulder. And you tell me to love her? Who's going to meet my needs?" And the rest of the chapter goes on in a really healthy way to help describe how your needs can and should be met. So myth number two is marriage will solve all your problems. Myth number three, good, healthy marriages come naturally. No, they do not. If you meet a couple that has a good, solid marriage, you know that they put a lot of hard work into their marriage. A good marriage does not come about by magic. It takes work. It takes understanding. It takes grace. It takes acceptance. And so, if you're married, or if you want to be married, be prepared to put in the hard work, because it's not going to happen on its own. Myth number 4. Living together first is a good test to see if the marriage will be successful. A lot of people think that way, right? But there have actually been a number of solid surveys that show that cohabitation before marriage does not necessarily equate having a solid marriage after the ceremony. And so don't allow the myth of the culture to think that cohabitation is a good testing ground to see if you are compatible. Myth number 5. Healthy marriages are conflict free. That is not true. Now, what is true is in a healthy marriage, you will learn to deal with conflict in a healthy way. And there's a world of difference. You have to learn to communicate. You have to learn to listen. Empathy, understanding, patience, forgiveness. All these things that we talk about will help you deal with conflict in a marriage or in any relationship in a healthy way. Your spouse completes you. Not true. Now, your spouse may complement you, and if you have a spouse that complements you, you are a blessed person. Because a complementary spouse will be your strength to your weaknesses, and you will be their strength to their weaknesses. So there's a beautiful complementary component to marriage. But if you go into marriage thinking that this other person is going to complete you, you're flawed, because there is no person on this planet that can complete you to make you whole as a person. Only God, who created you, can bring you to that point of completion. The most famous saying of St. Augustine is that our hearts are restless until we find our rest in Thee. So if I try to find my rest, my completeness, my peace in another human being, it's not going to happen. It will only happen until I find my eternal rest and peace in God. Myth number 7. Marriage is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. It doesn't have to be that way. That's why I and many other pastors constantly hit home the need for premarital counseling. You've got to know each other's expectations going into marriage. You've got to know each other very well, and that only takes time. And it takes some guided counseling to help you navigate through things that perhaps you've never even considered. So many people rush into marriage, and they had one expectation of marriage and marital responsibilities, and the new spouse had a completely different set of expectations, and there's conflict just from the very beginning. I remember one couple a while back came to me and they wanted to get married. And they were adamant. They knew everything about the other person. They hadn't known each other very long, but oh yeah, we don't need counseling. I know everything about her and she knows everything about me. We've got this thing made. We got this thing down. So I looked at them and I said, okay, I have a question. Tell me each other's credit scores. And they looked at each other and they go, I don't know. And I said, listen, you two want to get married, which is a good thing, and you say you know everything about each other, but a big component of marriage is your financial health. And if you don't know what each other's credit score is, how are you going to be able to rent a home or buy a home or have any kind of line of credit, especially if your credit is bad? I help them understand that you may think you know everything about the other person, but you really don't. Premarital counseling is very, very important. It'll help you see things in the other person that perhaps you haven't seen before. Myth number 8. Conflicts only stem from the behavior of the spouses. Conflict only stems from the behavior of the spouses, and that is simply not true. There are outside influences that can affect a marriage, and you have to be aware of those outside influences that affect you, your spouse. And so one of the things you absolutely must do, please listen to me, is you must protect your marriage and you must protect your home. Your marriage and your home is a sanctuary. It is your safe place. When Renee and I first got married, we made a decision. And it was kind of a difficult decision, but it has proven to be the right one for us, especially going into ministry. And this is the decision we made. Because we knew and still know and will always know people who need a place to live. But we made the decision that our home was going to be our sanctuary. And however much we wanted to help people, that we simply could not take somebody else into our home, because that by default will naturally affect our marriage. There was one time when Renee's brother came to visit, and it was supposed to be just for 2 days, and then it extended to a week, and then it extended to a week and a half, and then 2 weeks, and the tension in our home started to get really, really tight. And I said to Renee, remember our commitment that however much we want to help people, even if it's family, that we just can't take in another person because it will affect our marriage. That may not be true for you, but I know for us, to protect our marriage, we had to keep, and we will still keep, our home a sanctuary. And so do everything you need to do to protect your marriage from outside influences. Myth number 9. Happy couples have to do everything together. I am so glad that's not true. Because Renee loves museums. Oh, she loves going to museums. I tolerate them. But because I love Renee, I will go along and visit museums with her. And I know Renee loves me because you know what she did one time? She went with me to a professional wrestling match. And she hates professional wrestling. But you don't have to like the same things. And it's okay to have different interests. And you don't have to do everything together. Myth number 10. Your spouse will automatically know what to say and what to do to make you happy. That is not true. In a marriage, you have to learn to assert yourself. You have to be able to say what you need. You have to be able to speak your mind. Just the other day, I spoke to a lady, and she shared with me, all her life she has been so quiet, just not able to express herself. And she said, it's only been the last couple years or so that God has given her the confidence to be able to speak her mind, to be able to tell others what she needs and to set healthy boundaries. In a marriage or in any relationship, you have to be able to learn to express yourself. And a healthy spouse will listen to you and accept what you need and what you say. Myth number 11. Going to marriage counseling means we have serious issues. And I want to emphatically say no. What would happen if you drove your vehicle and you never gave it a tune-up? You never changed the oil. You never changed the spark plugs. You never took care of your vehicle. Someone's going to pick you up on the side of the road. You've got to maintain your vehicle. Regular checkups. Taking your car to the shop or changing the oil does not mean your car's in bad shape. It means you regularly maintain it to make sure it's running at an optimal level. And the same is true with marriage. Going to a marriage counseling does not mean you have issues. It just means you have an objective person from the outside looking in, helping you see things that maybe you two don't see. And so, if you're married, it's okay to have a marital tune-up. If there's enough interest in our church, actually, after this series is over, we can have the marriage conference that we host right here in our church called Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. It's a great marriage conference, and if there's enough interest, we will have it right here in our church. It won't cost you a dime. It'll take just a weekend, and it'll be a great tune-up for your marriage. Myth number 12. Once things are bad, we can't make them any better. And I want to say that goes against everything that the Bible teaches us, that God can rescue and redeem and salvage and restore any broken marriage or any broken relationship. I remember years ago, this was actually my first year when I came to this church, a young lady came to me and she said, "Pastor John, I have to meet with you." And so we met, and she was married at the time and they didn't have kids. And she said, "I'm going to leave my husband. We can't make it work." And I sat and I listened to her and I prayed with her, and I tried to help her see that let's give this another chance. Let's see if we can make this work. Long story short, they are still married. They've got 3 beautiful kids and they're making it work. Has it always been easy? Of course not. But the myth that our culture wants to say and tell us and have us believe is that once things are bad, you just throw in the towel and you move on to the next person. And that goes against everything that we know about the grace of God that can heal and redeem and restore any difficult broken marriage or any difficult broken relationship. These are just a few of the common myths that our culture would have us believe.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.